This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group. They are your full service law firm. Huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, often providing gifts to all players, gift baskets in prize drafts at other events. Brandon Legal Group buys the first foursome in virtually every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament and has for almost 3 years now. You need not ask what type of law Brandon Legal Group specializes in, as they are a full-service law firm. Call them for a free consult anytime, 844-4BLG-4ME. When you are in need of legal assistance, call Brandon Legal Group, 844-4BLG-4ME, or visit brandonlegalgroup.com. Pin Chasers, also supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. All Todd Wright Tour players go home with free bowling from Pin Chasers, and there's often a Pin Chasers gift basket in the prize draft. I often give away office parties at Pin Chasers, cyber bowling parties, kids' birthday parties. I finally experienced what a Pin Chasers kids' birthday party was like last weekend for my now 9-year-old friend Calvin. He, his friends, all the parents had a terrific time for 2 hours on a Saturday afternoon with plenty of food, soda, game time, bowling, etc. out at Pin Chasers at specifically the Armenia location, which is one of three locations that Anthony Peroni and the Pin Chasers family offer you. The other locations at 5555 West Hillsboro. Of course, the Armenia location is 4847 North Armenia, and in Zephyr Hills at 6816 Gale Boulevard. Remember, Drew Garabo's Down to Bowl fundraiser with proceeds to Down Syndrome Association. Still available for purchase. It's a week away. Pin Chasers Midtown. It's an afternoon event. And for more information on that, you can go to theboatonline.com, visit pinchasers.net, or follow Pin Chasers on Facebook for more information on their parties, their specials, league play, and more. Thank you very much, Anthony Peroni and Pin Chasers. Come to you on a Thursday morning where we have learned in the last 24 hours or so about an imminent plan to add slash alter the National Football League playoffs. I don't know that any of us really wanted this. Sure, if your favorite team just misses the playoffs, then something like this appeals to you. Other than that, it doesn't really appeal to anybody. That said, I understand it. And I think at some point, even in the last 5 years, I just on my own thought, yeah, they'll probably do this one day. At least in my lifetime, I've never seen a reduction in playoff games of any sport of significance in North America. I mean, it seems like forever. The NHL has had a 16-team postseason full of best of sevens. Now, I know they've thought about adding to that, but they haven't done it yet, thankfully. The playoffs last 2 months. The NBA, which is moving in the direction of changing regular season, might be looking to add sort of a one-game play-in for a number 9 and a number 10 involving the 7 and 8. We're not quite there yet. Baseball sounds like they're going to mess with their postseason again. I don't mind it in its current form. I don't watch a lot of baseball. The sport simply doesn't mean as much to me. There have been too many things in the sport that have pushed me away, and the Astros slash Red Sox scandal just confirms that I'm not missing anything. And of course, in college football, We've gone from a standard bowl system to a bowl alliance, to a bowl coalition, to a BCS without the Rose Bowl, to a BCS with the Rose Bowl, to the college football playoff, always expanding. So the NFL doing this, and if you're not familiar with it, it's pretty simple. Instead of the current format where the top two seeds per conference get a bye, and then the other two division champions play the two wild cards, they would be adding a third wild card, and that third wild card, hence the seven seed, would now be at the two seed, which would no longer receive a bye. I guess it's sensible to only give the top seed in the conference the week off. I get that. You're the best. You're the only one who gets it. Okay. So what would that have meant this last year? In the NFC, it was pretty clear. The Rams would have gotten in the playoffs as the seventh seed. And the Packers, as the two seed, would have had to play in the first round, and they would have hosted the Rams. None of the other games would have changed. Same 3-6 game, which was what? New Orleans losing to Minnesota. Same 4-5 game, which was Philly at home losing to Seattle. Number one seed, San Francisco, would have still had a bye. In the AFC, both the Colts and Raiders both finished with 7-9 records. Now, I think just because the Raiders were magically still alive for a playoff spot going into that last day, I think they would have gotten the seventh seed had there been a seventh seed. I think I remember they lost that game because I was listening to Brent Musburger call it, and in typical Brent form, he said something to the effect of, "The Broncos may have won, but you didn't cover, baby." So let's just assume Raiders would have been the seventh seed. They would have been at the Chiefs, the eventual Super Bowl champions. The Chiefs would have had to play an extra game. Do the Chiefs beat the Raiders in that first game? Yeah, probably. But does it change anything about them moving forward playing the next week in the division? It's an extra game. The Ravens would have had the only bye week. Again, I don't need this. I'm not craving more teams in the National Football League playoffs. I'm not. We've seen six seeds run the table on the road and go to the Super Bowl. I guess a seven seed can do it. Seems like in recent years, the seven seeds have not been teams who said, imagine if they had made the playoffs. Because you're going to get, I just gave you an example in the AFC, a seven-win team, a sub-500 team making the playoffs. I've never liked that. To me, if you have a losing season, you should not be rewarded with a trip to the postseason in any sport. And that applies to NBA teams below 500, NHL teams below 500. Would apply to NFL teams as well. Look at all the outcry about how bad the NFC East was. Philly got in at 9-7. Rams would be getting in at 9-7. Now, granted, Philly got to play a home game, and it doesn't sound like the NFL is going to seed based solely on record. Division champs would still get a home game. I guess that's yet to be determined, but that sounds like the way this is going. But it creates more money by having two additional postseason games. This enhances the TV contracts for whoever has the two extra postseason games. It sounds like the NFL wants to push Monday Night Football again, feeling that, and they're right, now that they've solidified the Thursday night package, which has moved around and could potentially move even more. Already, the Thursday night game is connected to a network that airs games on another day. It was CBS at first, and now it's Fox. But it sounds like whether it's the Disney deal extended and a simulcast with ABC and ESPN, or Turner gets involved and starts doing the Monday night games, that we've heard about flex scheduling for Monday night, as NBC has had for a number of years now with late season Sunday night games, where those networks, nor we, want to be stuck watching what we think is a bad game with no meaning in prime time. And Disney's package has often been stuck with those games. They had a ton of them this year. So perhaps the Monday night package would get an extra playoff game, and I'm not sure what happens with the other one. In recent years, NBC has had two weekends of playoff games. That has cost CBS or Fox a playoff game. I would imagine that now balances out, and CBS and Fox would get back the game they've lost to NBC. So a 2 versus 7, 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5, and you'd get triple headers on wild card weekend, as they call it. I call it simply the first round, where normally the action starts at 4:30 on Saturday. Then you have a primetime game Saturday night, then a Sunday afternoon game at 1, and then a 4:30 Sunday afternoon game. You now have triple headers both days. You'd basically be going at 1, 4:30, and 8:30 Saturday and Sunday. It's a lot of football. It's the first weekend of the playoffs. It'll generate a lot of excitement. Okay. Again, I'm not thrilled about 7-win teams likely making the playoffs, but I get it. I understand it. It creates two more postseason games and then doesn't change a thing about the second weekend of the playoffs. It goes the same way, and it does afford that number one seed is the only team per conference that gets the week off. Here, you earned it. You're the number one. You get the week off. No one else does. It will likely mean more number one seeds go to the Super Bowl, which also I'm okay with because they've been the best team throughout the entire regular season. The thing I'm more interested in is where are we on this 17th game plan? This has been talked about for some time. It doesn't look like it'll happen this year. I'm still convinced it will happen in the future. If it wasn't for concerns about concussions and how eventually pro football will not exist as we know it, we would have already had the 17th game and maybe even gone to 18. The USFL, all three of its spring years, 83, 84, 85, played 18-game regular seasons. So it has been done. If the concern about a 16-game season and the toll on the body is such a big deal, would someone involved listen to me? I have an idea to solve this. Currently, NFL players play 16-game regular season. Under the current format of a 60-minute game, that is 960 minutes of game action. Do the math. 16 games times 60 minutes per game is 960. If players say they can barely do that, we can't add more, fine. Shorten the games to 12-minute quarters. Just like the NBA. If you say, well, no, a quarter has to be 15 minutes. No. No, the NBA plays four quarters of 12 minutes each. It wouldn't be that drastic. And if you take a 48-minute NFL game, multiply it by 16, then add a 17th game, also of 48 minutes. The total number of minutes played in that 17-game regular season drops from 960 to 816. Players say they can't play more regular season games. What if I told you you're on the field for less time? Instead of playing 960 minutes, you play 816 minutes. And then overtime can actually be a full 12 minutes rather than standing out kind of as a stupid 10-minute overtime as it currently exists, with still outcry that both teams should touch the ball. I am reducing the amount of time that players play in a game by increasing the regular season to 17 games, but games would now be comprised of four 12-minute quarters as opposed to four 15-minute quarters, and there is a precedent for this. It's the NBA. I hope somebody listens to that and applies this math to the 17-game plan going forward, because I don't think the Players Association can argue against reducing the amount of time that players are on the field and how many plays they're involved with. That's my idea. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Pin Chasers. Pin Chasers offers kids' birthday parties, cyber bowling parties, office parties, league play, group outings, late night specials 5 nights a week, breakfast bowl specials 7 days a week. Remember, Drew Garabo's Down to Bowl fundraiser at Pin Chasers Midtown later this month. Go to pinchasers.net for all the info. And Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. When you are in need of legal assistance, call Brandon Legal Group for a free consult at 844-4-BLG-4ME or visit brandonlegalgroup.com. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast. You can follow me on Facebook. I'm just Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida, or on Instagram at Todd Wright 2020.